Hallelujah. He's already ordered our steps. He's already ordained us in whatever it is that he wants us to do. All you got to do is accept it. Hallelujah. That was stopping your blessing. Your obedience, your lack of obedience, and your lack of acceptance of responsibility. Amen? But I want to talk about a father this morning that truly wasn't a father when he became a father. Somebody say amen. I want to talk about some man who was obedient to the Holy Spirit when he didn't have to be obedient because the flesh said, "No, you don't have to do that." I want to talk about that man this morning. Amen? I want to talk about the man that God chose to raise his son. Hallelujah. You didn't get that. I said the man that God chose to raise his son. God was particular when he thought about somebody to raise his son. Just think about it. When we get married, when we have children, we're particular about who we marry. We're particular about the children that we want to have. We're particular about all the circumstances surrounding that individual. Because when you have children, there's something that you have to do, like obedience, hallelujah, and sacrifice. There's some things that you're going to go on that you don't necessarily understand. Amen? But God has ordered it. I pray tell right now that I know that Minister Ricardo is going through some things right now that he don't understand. And any man that has had a child, whose wife or somebody has had a child, understands that that first one, you go through some things that you don't quite understand. Amen. And it takes some obedience and it takes some patience. It takes somebody being able to explain to you what it is that you don't know. Amen. So how particular do you suppose God was when he was choosing the family that would raise Jesus? I think that God wanted a family that would treat the child good. I think that he wanted a man who would not be abusive to his son. Amen? I think he wanted a man who would take this child in his best interest. Amen? Regardless of the circumstance. I think he wanted a man who would train him up in the way of the Lord. I think that he wanted a man that would teach him some skills to tell so he can make a living in the event that he had to make a living. Jesus was that young man that needed that man, his life, to be his father, his earthly father. We place so much emphasis on Mary, and she surely deserves that. It's her choice to become the mother of Jesus. She deserves to be thanked and held in great respect, but we often forget about Joseph. Amen? We often forget about that man and what he's done. On Mother's Day, I told you I wasn't going to sit up there and praise the mothers and bash fathers. I told you that. I don't do that because I'm a man and I don't want to sit out there and somebody does that to me. And on this Father's Day, I'm not going to sit up here and bash women. But I am going to honor the fathers today for the things that they do. I am going to honor the men because this is the day that the Lord has made. So I'm going to rejoice and I'm going to be glad in it. And I'm going to do what he told me to do. He told me to speak life into men. We're so beaten down. Every which way we turn, talked about, turned about, put down, stepped on, spit on. We need to be held up. If we can't get the respect that we need, so many times we run away from it. But I need some godly men today to know that God has got your back. That respect that you have inside comes on the outside. So it doesn't make a difference what people say about you. It doesn't make a difference what people do to you because they cannot steal your joy and your pride inside of you. They can't steal your confidence. God wants confident men. And I'm here to say this morning, Joseph had to be confident in everything that he did. Amen? He was the man that God chose. Amen? Joseph's lifestyle was very influential in the life of our Lord Jesus Christ. Matthew and Mark explains the fact that although Joseph was not the physical father of Jesus. He was the father. And this is very important today, more now than ever before. We have so many families and situations of blended families. People marrying into families or relationships where children already exist. Amen? Where children already exist. It's almost like you're never going to get that perfect family anymore. It's almost like that. But it is a time where we have blended families. Women who have children, maybe from some other relationship when they wasn't married, or husbands who have, or men who have children from situations, whatever it is. So blended families, and learning to be a man for whoever it is that you're a father or a male figure or role model for, is very important. You see, Joseph did something back then that people didn't even do. I always say the Bible includes a lot of things that is very pertinent and prevalent in our society. Amen? Back then when Jesus was born, it was the beginning of the blended family. Somebody say amen. Amen? When we begin to focus on Joseph, it's just disappointing to find out there's very little biological information that we have on him that's given in Scripture. All we know is that he was a descendant of David from the village of Bethlehem, and that he was a carpenter. You see, that right there lets you know that although there's not a whole lot of information on him, he didn't need a whole lot of information to be put on him to be the man that he needs to be. I say it because some people feel like they gotta have a whole lot of stuff going on about them to be the man that they need to be. Amen? But here's a man that's undercover. A man just doing his job, not worrying about the fanfare, just doing his job. So men, fathers, dads, we don't need a whole lot of fanfare to do our jobs. Hallelujah. We just got to do our jobs. Amen? Joseph, he could have did a lot of things with Mary. I wonder how Joseph felt when he found out that this woman that he was engaged to was pregnant. This woman that he was engaged to was pregnant. Men, how would you feel the woman that you're engaged to is pregnant? Not by you, because you never touched her. You never touched her. How would you feel? That's how Joseph had to feel, finding out that Mary was pregnant and he never touched her. Amen? Now, Joseph was older than Mary, but still that didn't stop his feelings from knowing that this woman that he said, I want to marry, is pregnant. Amen? So during the time of engagement, Joseph must have thought about it. It had to be a blow to his ego. Amen? A blow to his ego that the woman's pregnant. What am I going to do? Now, under Roman law, it was very common, if he wanted to declare it to everybody, and they would have stoned her to death. But he decided that he wouldn't do that. Amen? So that says that Joseph had compassion for Mary. Amen? That says to me that the man that God chose to raise Jesus was a man of compassion. I don't know if you got that. He was a man of compassion. How do you want your children to grow? They follow your example. Joseph could have married her anyway and been upset the whole marriage, cursing and screaming and fighting and being abusive. I don't know how Jesus in the flesh would have turned out if that happened. But I venture to say today that when we are in relationships and we cuss and we fight, our children see it? How do you think that they're going to be? How do you think that they're going to react in those situations when they grow up? But God, in his infinite wisdom, knew that Joseph was a compassionate man, that Joseph would teach young Jesus in his formative years compassion. Compassion is the very thing that Jesus had with the woman at the well. When everybody else didn't have compassion for her, Jesus had compassion for her. The woman who had been in so many adulterous relationships, they wanted to stone her to death. Jesus had compassion for her. What I'm saying is that Jesus grew up in a house under the tutelage of a man, a father that had compassion. Amen? That's one of the reasons why God chose Joseph to be his earthly father. Amen? All the time that Joseph was going through this, it was a personal crisis for his life. Amen? One thing that Joseph did is he demonstrated mercy. Amen? He was just a man. But even though he was just a man, he said, you know, I could divorce her quietly and maybe nobody would know. We can't do things quietly and nobody's going to know. God knows, somebody else is going to know. Amen? He could have been in a rage because when we hurt, put yourself in his situation. Put yourself in his place. I don't care if you're a mother or you're a father. Put a husband or wife. Put yourself in his place. He was hurt. I'm told that hurt people hurt people. Did you get that? Hurt people hurt people. He didn't hurt nobody. He didn't hurt nobody. I could see him listening to Mary saying, but the angel came down, the Holy Spirit spoke to me and told me that I was with child. Joseph, I could see him looking like, yeah, you gotta be kidding. You really gotta be kidding me. You expect me to believe that. But when Mary told him that, he accepted it. And when he had a level of acceptance, then the angels came and spoke to him. Amen? Because if somebody doesn't have a level of acceptance in something, you could talk to you blue in the face. They're not listening to you. Amen? You ever have a serious discussion with somebody and there's no level of acceptance? They don't really hear you, no matter how much, no matter what you do. Joseph had to have a level of acceptance in what Mary said to him. So when the angel spoke to him, he got it. He understood. Amen? In our lives, men, sometimes we got to have a level of acceptance in dealing with sons and daughters and wives. Amen? Because they do some things that we don't think is logical. And when we don't think it's logical, there's a level of acceptance that's not there. Amen? Joseph had to have a level of acceptance because he was a just man and his life was regulated by the Jewish law. Amen? When we are just, we don't like things outside of the lines. Amen? Just people like things in the lines. We like to be in that box, but God is outside of the box. Amen? Joseph had to realize that God was outside of the box when the Holy Spirit impregnated Mary. Amen? He showed mercy. So he was compassionate. And he showed mercy. Men, fathers, we have to be compassionate and we have to show mercy. And we do show mercy. And we are compassionate. And sometimes our compassionate and our mercy is not understood. Amen? I have to say that. Sometimes our compassion and our mercy is not understood. Because we say these things and we have it, but we still have battles. Joseph still had battles. Amen? Until he got that word from above. Sometimes we have battles. I'm asking the wives, I'm asking the women in the congregation to realize that, men, we do understand things and we have compassion and we have mercy. But we still have battles, just like you do. Amen? Our decisions and things that we do are not always concrete. Amen? The world wants us to be concrete, solid in everything that we do. We can only be solid when we seek the Lord. Amen? Because the enemy has a battle going on. There's always a battlefield of our minds, a battlefield for things that are happening in our lives. Amen? Joseph had that battle going on. Men, we have battles going on, but we have to show that mercy and be compassionate. Amen? Joseph, as he continued to move into his crises, there was a second characteristic that comes. He had to be open to incredible possibilities. Amen? Joseph, when he realized these things were going on, it's, like I said, instead of him saying, you got to be kidding, he had to realize that he was dealing with a deity that was outside of the normal. Amen? See, normal says, that ain't right. But outside of the deity, outside of the time, outside of that box where God is, because we're in this box, possibilities of everything are possible. There is no such thing as impossible. That's why when we come up and we pray for people, regardless of what the doctors say, we know that things are possible. Because God is outside of that box. He's outside of what we can do. He's outside of what we think. Amen? That's why Joseph was such an extraordinary man. Because he had to realize that he and his life is really outside of the box. The man that God chose to raise his son had to realize that God is outside of the box and humble himself to accept that. Amen? God is the absolute authority in everything that we do. So we can't put self-imposed limits on what God does. He is of absolute, complete authority in everything. Another thing that Joseph had to do, he had to have a willingness to venture outside of his hunches. Now we know that that's not easy, amen? There's no way to prove the accuracy of the dreams that he had. There was some risk involved, but this is the path that Joseph decided on. Outlandish as it seemed. He chose that path outside of his hunches. Amen? That means that inside of that box in which everybody lives in, Joseph had to go into a further box because he could not tell people what happened. Have you ever been in a situation where you're holding on to something and you really can't tell nobody how miserable you are? You look around and people are happy and you can't smile because you got this burden on your heart, this life that you're living, the things going on in your life. Joseph had that inside of the box, inside of another box, inside of another box, and inside of another box, and inside of another box. We live inside of a box, inside of a box. Some of us have all of these things that we don't want nobody to know of inside of that box. Inside of a box. Amen? Men, women, we're starting to realize that men have things that are inside of that box. That are inside of the box, that are inside of the box, inside of the box, inside of a box. that make us the way that we are. And you know what? Most of the time, we don't even want to talk about it. You say to us, why are you doing this or why are you this way? It's because we're inside of a box that's inside of a box, inside of a box. Hallelujah. We men are working on breaking out of some of them boxes that we're in. But until we break out of them boxes, you got to pray that for us that a box open. And when we get to the next box, that we got strong enough to get out of that box, and then to get out of that box and get out of that box, to get out of the box. Because living for Christ requires us as men to live outside of the box. You didn't get that, did you? I said for us to live as for Christ as men, it requires us to live outside of those boxes. Because the world does not, the enemy does not want us to get out of those boxes. We can't be leaders when we're in a box because we can't move. We can't be the men God wants us to be in those boxes because they can't hear us speak. We can't be the men that God wants us to be because inside of those boxes, our sound, our everything, our energy, everything is muffled. The enemy wants to muffle us. It's time for us men, as husbands and dads, to get out of the box. Tell your sons and daughters that you love them. There's nothing wrong with that. Give them a kiss. Give them a peck as they go outside the door. Let them know that you care. When they get into trouble, let them know that you still love them in spite of circumstances. Matter of fact, some of the things that they do because you did it, even though they didn't see you do it. Because your whole personality, your whole makeup is inside of that box when you created that individual. Hallelujah. You don't believe that that time of conception, that person that you are, is in that young one that comes out. So you can change, but what you were is in that child. Those of you who have more than one child, no. Those of you who was one way at a certain time, at another way at another time, and you had children, you know. So when somebody says, what's wrong with your child, you know that there's nothing wrong with your child. Your child's just being you. You know the child that you have the most problems with is the one just like you. I'm speaking it because it's true. The one that you have the most trouble with, she is just like you. And you get so mad because when you see them, you see you. And you tell them what you were told and they don't listen, just like you. Whew. I don't know where that came from. So I totally understand why God entrusted his only son into the care of this man. What better atmosphere could Jesus have grown up in than an earthly father who was so compassionate of others, who was so open to God and so decisive in his own person? You know, it takes a lot of guts to be Joseph. It takes a lot of guts to stand up there against society. It takes a lot of guts to hold all of that in. It takes a lot of guts to keep seeing this little boy and wondering, it takes a lot of guts. It takes a lot of guts for us today to be the men that God wants us to be. I know you look at your little children and you go, it takes a lot of guts. But let me say this to each and every one of you, especially the men today. God chose you for those children that you have. regardless of the ups and downs that they put you through. God chose you for those children. He didn't choose me for your children. He chose me for mine. He chose you for yours. Amen? He chose you for the ones that are even not yours. The ones that you have to deal with. I get so upset with my wife. She's always talking about those children of hers that she deals with in the schools. She talks about my children. And I look at her like she's out of her mind. But see, God chose her for that so they can be her children. Because I'm not in that position. They'd never be my children. I'd be no good for them. But God chose each and every one of you for your compassion, for your mercy, for the grace that you have to your children. The man that God chose for his son had compassion, and he had mercy, and he had an understanding that whatever outside of the realm of what I control, God is in control. God chose Joseph to be Jesus' earthly father. This lets me know that Joseph was before his time. Somebody say amen. He was before his time. Because later on, it took Paul to say, I have learned in whatever state I am to be content. I have learned that whatever state I'm in, to be content. You see, Joseph had to be content in the state of his marriage and his relationship with Mary. Amen? He began to see that that was a gift that God had given him. And it was a privilege that God had chosen him to be the one to provide for Jesus. Fathers, on this Father's Day, remember to be content in the state that you're in. Be content with the children that God has provided and gifted you with. Amen? Because you know, everybody can't have a child. The scripture says it's a gift from God. Amen? And a gift isn't a gift until it's given. So when he gave it to you, he gave you a gift. And it might take years and years and years for you to realize the importance, the value of that gift. I have to confess, sometimes I'm still waiting for mine. But I remember that as they were growing up and they started in their adolescence years and things were happening that I didn't even know, but I seen me in them. And I called my father up and I said, you know, Dad, the older I get, the smarter you get. He just laughed because he knew what I was saying. And I know you have frustrations, dads and fathers, with your sons and your daughters. But the older you get, the wiser you're going to get to them. And when they fess up, that one day out of the blue, you're going to get a letter in the mail. Well, now you're going to get an email. You might get a tweet or text. They might call you, but they're going to let you know, Dad, all of those things that you did for me, and you really didn't want to do it for me, I appreciated it. You know, all the times that you really didn't want to go to my ball game or go to school or see my play or watch me dance or whatever, I want you to know I appreciate it. I want you to know how special you made me feel when I looked out there and you were there. I want you to know how you made me feel inside that my daddy was there. Fathers, today I want you to know you hold a special place in each and every one of your children's lives. They say that men we are supposed to lead. Let me break it down to you. If you're married, you hold a special place in that woman you call your wife's life. You hold a special place. You're near and dear to her heart. You tell her you love her, and she falls out. Come on, some woman. You bring her some flowers, it's on and popping. Come on, somebody. You take her out to dinner and smile across the table and treat her and talk to her like you used to do. Come on, somebody. I'm not going to tell you the rest of that one, but anyway, you're special to that woman. You have sons. Every son wants to please their father. Every son wants to make their dad happy. Every son wants to run to their father and say, "Dad, see what I did. Look at me." You're special to that son. That daughter, oh my God, your daughter emulates and loves you so much that she kind of looks for the man that you are when she's looking for a relationship or a marriage. Come on, somebody. Man, you're a special individual. You're a special person. I'm here today to let you know. Oh, forget about being the granddad now. If you're the granddad, forget about it. You Big Papa. That's what they call him, Big Papa. You Big Papa. Oh, you can do no wrong. You can do no wrong. You spoil them and you send them home. You spoil them and you send them home. You spoil them, you send them home. You let them do all the little bad things they want to do, and they go home and try to do it. And they say, "I want to go back to my papa's house." But you hold a special, special place. That's why you should not let nobody put you down. Life and times and situations and governments and society try to put you down. Let no man put you down. Do the best that you can. God knows your heart. They can't see your heart, but God knows your heart. That's what he requires of us as men. We're to lead and not follow. Your wife wants you to be out front taking care of a business. It ain't got nothing to do with money. It ain't got nothing to do with cars. It got to do with protecting them and watching out for them and covering their back and the children. But do it in love. Do it under the auspices of knowing that you are a godly man. Amen? Men, this is your day. Dads, this is your day. This is the day for reconciliation. This is the day to forget about things that happened in the past. This is the day to let the Spirit of the Lord come down upon you with a supernatural power, Lord. So forget all the things that you've been thinking about, all the things you've been holding against one another, asking one another to forgive us for things that we might have done that we had no control over at that time. Realizing that today that God has given us another opportunity to get it right. Another opportunity at reconciliation. Another opportunity to be the husband, the father, the man God wants us to be. Somebody say amen. Are we the kind of person that God can use in a big way? I want the men to come up here today. I want all the men to come up here beside me today. Because I want you to know that God wants to do big things in our lives, and he wants to use us in a big way. Come on, man, I'm asking you to come up here. And I want you out there to pray for us, that God start doing some big things in our lives. Hallelujah. Now I want you to turn around and face them so they can pray for you. Hallelujah.